Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 17th of November 2010, and I'm Hereward Fenton. I'm going to play here a clip recorded within the last 24 hours from the United States as people over there start to grapple with the increasing tyranny. This is from Congress in Washington earlier today.
The Western world has been an open society, and we're seeing it right before our eyes become a prison camp. It needs to stop. And this is not about Democrat or Republican. This is about standing up for our Constitution and our traditional values. And I would hope our elected officials, and I'm confident they will see what's going on here and around the country, and they'll respond appropriately.
That was Senator Michael Doherty, from Senator from the United States. Part of the massive backlash against the airport tyranny and the groin groping. And we're going to be covering the outrages there in detail. But before we do, we're going to be getting into some Australian news. And I want to welcome to the show tonight, Joshua Jackson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, Hereward.
Good evening.
Guests.
Good evening, Squire. It's great to have your company, Josh, as we plough through this treacherous sea of information with a lot of waves and a lot of danger that we have to face.
I mean, you know, I've heard it said somewhere before that if you keep calling for security from your government, if you keep calling that the government has to secure you more and more, you end up in maximum security. And that's what's happening. You know, virtual strip searches everywhere. They're already calling for having these virtual strip search machines put into, courthouses and public libraries. Soon enough, they'll be in shopping centres. You know, all it takes is one, either false flag or a real terrorist attack to happen at a library or on a bus or in a shopping center, and instantly you'll have these everywhere.
Yeah, that's such a good point, and it's really important to understand that the reason why we are having strip searches and groin groping in airports is simply because it is widely believed that the 9/11 attacks were carried out by Islamic terrorists who got on planes. Of course, they didn't even have bombs, even according to the official story. Doesn't matter. The airplane has become a symbol of something terrible could happen. You know, something terrible could happen on a plane because on 9/11 something terrible happened on a plane. But of course, if something terrible happens in a movie cinema, then we'll have to have groping on the way on the way into the movie cinema, won't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what will happen. It's this obsession with airplanes when buses, trains, everything's just as vulnerable, really. And that to me really shows that this is all a big scam, a boogeyman, and I think people have to. You know, what's missing in society nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, is the science of philosophy. Because we need philosophers to really start thinking about what the freedoms in our society mean and how to protect them when we get terrorist attacks, false flag or not. How do we react? Because if we just blindly not have any sort of rules of engagement as a society when these things happen, we just follow and we beg the government for more security. We beg them. And like I said before, you end up in maximum security like a prison.
Like a prison, like the man just said there in the video. Now, look, we're going to get back to that video. I'm going to play that whole segment. And we just got an alarm going off there, unfortunately. We're going to get back to that shortly. But before we do, I really want to make sure we cover some Australian stories, and we're just going to rip straight into that, and then we're going to get back to the groin groping topic. So please bear with me. Okay, let's begin with the police gaining new anti-terror search powers in Australia. Police have been given new powers to enter a home without warrant under new anti-terror laws. Labor and the Coalition voted together in the Senate on Monday to pass the legislation and defeated a series of Green amendments. Now, it's very important to understand that Labor and the Coalition acted as one on this, right? Now, after all the things that have happened over the last few years, all of the increased laws, all the increased powers, they just felt they didn't have quite enough. You know, they just wanted something extra. And this is the way it's going to continue. Every now and then they're going to say, gee, you know, we just need to have that little bit extra power because it's a little bit inconvenient for us to have to go before a judge and have a good reason to search someone's home. A little bit inconvenient. Well, yes, it is inconvenient. I mean, you've got to show probable cause. I mean, let's just get right down to the reason why it's inconvenient for them and why they've changed it. If you want to search someone's home under current laws, under the current set of reasons that they've provided here, you have to have what's called probable cause. And there are criteria for that, and judges are familiar with it. And if you don't, it looks like you're just on a fishing expedition. And it's actually against the core principles of common law to do that, to just go on fishing expeditions and just invade people's privacy in case they might have something that they've done that you can find. And Josh, you're absolutely right on the mark when you say we need philosophers, because it's not one of those airy fairy type philosophy situations. It's a serious one. Because you've got to understand why a law that says you need a warrant to do a search was there in the first place. You've got to understand that.
And you know, the concept, a lot of people don't even know what a philosopher is, what philosophy is, because it's just totally devoid in any high school education. It's, you know, you never learn logic, you never learn reason anymore, really. You learn a little bit of logic in maths, but... It's, you know, the whole point of philosophy is to have, it's just like science. You cannot, a watertight philosophy cannot contradict itself. So you can't, you know, have, we're here to protect you, but then we just go around sexually assaulting everybody.
Yeah, but see, the problem is, Josh, I'll just play devil's advocate here for a minute, because what people are going to say is, look, that's all very fine. You go off to your university and you talk about your philosophical questions. We've got a world to run. We've got to protect people. We've got to take action. You know, that's what you're going to get from the police. That's what you're going to get from a lot of people in the street. And unless we can articulate why it is as with as much intensity and even drama as they do, then basically they're just going to say, well, you go off and have your little, you know, airy-fairy philosophical thing. We'll just make people safe, thanks. That's what they're going to say. So we have to communicate that this is actually a serious threat.
Yeah, folks, if I was to go to work and feel someone's groin... or a woman's vagina, and say, "Oh, it's for your security." I'll be arrested and put in prison.
Indeed, or if you were to go and search someone's
at an airport and does it, it's for your security. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference there, folks?
Well, if you were to go and search someone's house because you think they might have done something wrong, that would actually be called break and enter.
Yeah,
and they might well have done something wrong, you know. You know, you might just break into your next door neighbor's house because you think he might be a crook, right? And he might be a crook.
Absolutely. It's the same. I remember a couple of years ago they were talking about in certain states thumbprinting anyone, crook or not, right? And then they said, oh, no, we can't do that. And then the police chief came out, I think it was Queensland, I'm not sure. The police chief came out and said, "Oh no, we only fingerprint people if they're suspected to be criminals."
Incredible.
So what does that even mean? You know, like, so you can suspect them to be criminals. So, well, we suspect you to be. It's no different, right? It's totally Orwellian by saying you can fingerprint anyone. Oh, no, that's not true. We only fingerprint people we suspect to be criminals. Well, that's pretty much can be anyone, right?
It is bizarre.
And this is the same with this no warrant thing. You can just come in and search anyone's house.
You know, oddly, and they try to deal with how bad that sounds by saying things like this. And this is a quote from Federal Attorney General Robert McClelland. Our national security and counterterrorism laws will be exercised in a just and accountable way. Oh, really? Like having a warrant? like you know, making sure that you've got a good reason before you break into someone's home? No, they just say it'll be just and accountable. That's just using words. That's using words that sound comforting to calm you down. And this is what we see constantly.
It's a slippery slope, folks, and it's really important to, you know, and I know our listeners are very intelligent, and they'll especially the ones that have been listening to us for a while and have been teaching us, but you know, the new listeners or people that are just coming into this information for the first time will start to realize when they hear the news, they start to hear this color of language. That's quite manipulative.
Manipulative and malignant.
Yeah.
And look, when we get through some of these stories, I'm gonna draw a synthesis. I'm gonna make a synthesis tonight, because I'm going to draw a line between several different, apparently quite different, phenomena that are going on in our social evolution. Whatever's happening. Whatever you call it, devolution, and I want to point out the same mechanism over and over again is being used, and I'm not saying that's because there's some secret Illuminati that's pulling all the strings and making all the decisions. There might be. I don't know that. It doesn't matter. I'm not making that type of speculation.
Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. I just want to say in advance that basically. I want to demonstrate the underlying technique, and it's a technique which could be used by different parties and is being used, and it's very similar in each case. But let's just move on. So I'm just going to move straight into the next story here. Please bear with me. Right. Okay, boys are going to be given the Gardasil vaccine. Schoolboys will be offered the cervical cancer vaccine to stamp out human papillomavirus.
Yeah, and we reported on this about a year ago, that where they were sort of slightly hinting at the fact that this might be coming out, and now they're just openly saying, yep.
They are indeed. Every secondary school boy could soon be offered a free jab to vaccinate them against a sexually transmitted disease.
Can I just interject there?
Yeah, sure.
Folks, it's not free. Right? Stop. You have to realize that when the government says free, what they're actually saying is that they're stealing the money through your taxes and paying a pharmaceutical in a fascist contract, a fascistic corporatist contract, to give everybody this vaccine for so-called free, when really it's not free. You are paying for it.
Yeah, and bear in mind, somebody's making a lot of money out of it.
There are some people
out there making a lot of money. Yeah, they're rich. They, you know, they've got swimming pools. They've got houses in the south of France. They've got yachts. You know, they've probably got their own Learjets. They're making serious money out of this. Okay. And you know, the average person isn't making a lot of money, okay? We're all struggling. We're all just barely able to get by in today's world, barely able to cover our mortgage expenses.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse now that they're printing like crazy all globally, and basically devaluing every currency, every paper currency there is.
Now, an interesting observation I just want to make that this Gardasil vaccine, the man that we heard earlier, Doherty, which we'll play that entire clip, he's actually gone on record as being opposed to mandatory vaccines as well. And again, you see where the philosophy of liberty, how it starts to join together people on different topics, because it's about the same essential struggle. And people will tend to gravitate towards these same topics. But in a video that I listened to earlier today, he said that apparently the state of New Jersey was trying to mandate Gardasil vaccine, and they were going to say that you couldn't get your kids into school unless they had the Gardasil vaccine, your girls, right? And he said, look, on the one end, it's an imposition on people's rights, because the parents should decide that. The other thing he said, it was an incredible insult to 12-year-old girls to assume that they were sexually active, because the vaccine is of no use if you're not sexually active. I mean, even if you believe the vaccine works, which I don't, because I'm a skeptic about the vaccines, but even if you believe that the vaccines work according to the specification, there's no point in giving them unless you're sexually active. So by giving 11-year-old girls the vaccine, the government is implying that all these girls are sexually active, which
yeah. And let me just, because we get a lot of emails for all sorts of subjects, and let me just get this straight of where I personally stand on this. And I personally stand on the fact is I don't know whether vaccines work or not, and quite frankly, I don't care if in terms of the subject matter of vaccines. What I care about is the freedom of choice and the freedom of my family and my children's choice to take and shove whatever they want
yes.
in their veins or to not.
Exactly. It might not work. You might think it works. I might think it doesn't. But we're free to do it if we want. If we make a decision that it's good, we'll do it.
Now, the reason why we harp on about vaccines and not other drugs is because, and we do harp on about other drugs as well, but we focus a lot on vaccines because vaccines, they go on about this herd immunity problem.
Yeah.
And so vaccines are under a lot more pressure. Governments are under a lot more pressure to push vaccines through as a mandatory jab because of this herd immunity concept.
So true, so true. Sorry to rush you through there. I just want to get through some more Australian stuff so we can actually get back to discussing all of this as one giant topic, right? Now, I just want to quickly move on to something that actually caused me a lot of personal anguish when I listened to it yesterday. And Josh, you had a chance to listen to it as well. The 2010 George Munster Award Forum.
Oh, this was a joyous thing to listen to.
Yeah, from our ABC. And this was forwarded to me by a friend, and it was recorded on the 4th of November 2010. Now, I'll just read to you, this is actually a panel, a group of mostly journalists. I think there was one scientist in the group, and I'll read out to you the names of the people in the panel in a minute. But They're top media people in Australia. I mean, we're talking about the environment editor of the Sydney Morning Herald, and we're talking about one of the top journalists at the ABC who deals with the environment, and someone else from The Age. And now, look, they of course they're entitled to have their opinions. I don't begrudge them their opinions. But remember, the ABC has all these charters and mandates in it about how it needs to reflect what the people actually want and what the people actually think. And this particular panel discussion has obviously gone completely against what people want. You can just find that out by going to the comments. I'm going to have to play a bit of it just so that our audience can get a feel for it. We're only going to play a part of it, but hopefully you'll get a sense of how outrageous it is, even just from the beginning of it. The panel discussion included Philip Chubb, Ben Cubby, Sarah Clark, Ann Henderson Sellers, and Tom Morton. Now, the subtext of the title is, does the danger of climate change render traditional journalistic concepts of fairness and balance obsolete? In other words, they're saying, should we just, you know, are we being too balanced here? You know, are we actually covering the other side too much? Should we just basically silence the other side because they're wrong? And, yeah. And remember, these are journalists saying that, right? And remember, that's their opinion, okay? And also remember that when journalists say that there is a consensus, and particularly when you listen to this, when they say that there is a consensus, all they really mean is that there is a consensus in that room. And it's the consensus of the people in that room at that time that there is a scientific consensus, because there is no scientific consensus on global warming. There's a whole lot of scientists saying different things. And even if there was even if it was like 97% to 3% as they claim, that would still mean that 3% could be right, because that's quite often the way science works. It doesn't work on the numbers anyway, but their claim that it's 97% of all scientists believe the exact dogma of the IPCC is also complete rubbish.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you know, of course, we've said this many times before on this show, and you could say to me, well, that's just your opinion, that's their opinion. Fine, I grant other people the right to have an opinion. Yeah. I've always said that these people, and you can't debate this. You can't argue against this, right? You can argue and say I'm wrong, fine. But when you listen to these fascistic people trying to convince each other that they should deny people a voice, there is no more debate about what that is. That's tyranny, right? We can be totally clear about that, and I can be totally confident that is totally tyrannical, even if they were right. Even
you
if
can't
I
buy them, folks. You can't.
Yeah.
As even though you employ these people, you have no say.
Well, I mean, to be fair, a lot of these people are working for, you know, Fairfax, you know, News Limited, you know, other organisations as well as the ABC. But, you know, they all seem to act as one corporatocracy, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just play some of this and then we'll see how we go from there.
Sarah Clark from the ABC. Is it time for journalists to take a principled decision and stop reporting the views of climate change sceptics?
I don't think that the answer's as clean cut as you'd probably like me to deliver. I think it's a scenario where I think Anne makes a very good point. There's a lot out there these days, and there's a lot of opinion out there these days, and I think that's the opinion is what is blurring and clouding the message and the factual evidence or the observational data that's being presented by the peer-reviewed science. I think as a journalist, you have to stick to a process, and that process is relatively clear-cut. If I'm doing a story on a paper, I will make that assessment on the fact that it's an authoritative source. That authoritative source is delivering some evidence that's been scrutinised by, if it's the IPCC, hundreds, if not thousands, through a number of processes, and they've turned around and said, this is good enough, and they'll give the all clear to print or put together as an IPCC paper. That is the kind of story that I would say, right, it fits the criteria. Nature journals.
Okay, just hold it there, right? What she's saying, it sounds like, let me just translate that into normal language. She's saying, if mummy says it's okay, then it's okay. If teacher says it's okay, then it must be okay. It must be, because
yeah, don't think for yourself, basically.
Yeah, yeah. If just substitute whatever symbol of authority you want: mummy, teacher, a god, you know, the
yeah.
Pope,
government.
If my authority figure says it's okay, then it's okay. Now, that is an incredibly, and this is supposed to be an investigative journalist. Hello?
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. What kind of a society we live in right now?
It is
where we have investigative, so-called investigative journalists telling you not to think and just to listen to the authoritative figures.
Yeah, just listen to the latest broadcast from the IPCC and, you know, just faithfully write that down, because
then,
that will
and then
be
write
true.
A check. Yeah. Write that down and then write a check to the IPCC.
Write
In
a
fact,
check.
You don't need to. We'll just tax it from you. We'll just take it, whether you believe this or not.
Look, let's not bother with the rest of that. I do encourage my listeners to listen to it, but you will need counselling afterwards, because it is very, very upsetting. And each one of those panellists has a particular bias that is very evident. Ben Cubby, the environment editor for the Sydney Morning Herald, calls Lord Monckton a fruitcake and leaves it at that, doesn't even qualify that with anything, which is incredibly insulting to the hundreds of thousands of people who flocked to his lectures and who listened to him on radio here. So he's basically just dissing the whole of, you know, most of Australia. He's just saying, you know, you're all complete idiots, I'm God.
Well, yeah, it's... It's just a personal attack. I mean, it's
a personal attack. Yeah,
it's typical of what happens when someone knows they're wrong and they're quite idiotic. They just spurt out personal ad hominem attacks onto people. They don't actually quite try to qualify their statements with any sort of reason or evidence. They just say, "Oh, he's a stupid head."
Yeah, yeah.
And like a child.
And, of course, the phrase denier and denialist comes up over and over again. And, look, I wouldn't even be bothering to report this to you. I wouldn't even be talking about this if it were not for the fact that we have a government which has the power, the mandate, which is using these people as its mouthpiece. This is not just an abstract discussion here. This is not just a bunch of people having a you know, tossing off, right, because they are a mouthpiece of propaganda which is being used to ram home a policy which is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt you, right? They are going to erode your quality of life. They are going to impose taxes on you which are going to make everything more expensive and which are going to kill people. Because when you make it harder and harder for people to have basic things like air conditioning and heating, people die. People die in heat waves, and they also die when it gets cold.
And for all those folks who think, like, oh, you only care about rich Westerners, this will kill millions in the third world because we can't afford solar panels yet because they're too expensive in a mass. How do you think they're going to be able to afford that when they have to start paying for carbon credits? When electricity prices for and power prices for the third world or the developing worlds start rising, because they can't even afford it yet now, and it's one of the cheapest things we can get is coal, and they can't afford it.
Now Julia Gillard is using that magic word reform, which when people hear it they go, oh, you must be good, you know, you want to reform things. There's an article which was printed today by Julia Gillard in the Sydney Morning Herald, Carbon Price Now or We'll Pay Later. So our Prime Minister now is, her opinion piece is now, you know, which is, of course, based on her opinion about the science, right, informing policy, and she's now also a journalist, okay? Wow. It's like North Korea, really, when you think about it. So it says here, reform means literally a reshaping. A reforming government starts with the proposition that it is possible to reshape the landscape, to look afresh at the way things are done and find a better way. Gee, that sounds like North Korea as well. It is possible to do something for so long that you forget there are other ways to do it. Electricity generation in Australia is a bit like that. Australia has relied almost entirely on our extensive coal reserves to fulfil our electricity needs. That has served us for a long time and it has served us well. Many Australians work in the coal industry. But just because the dominance of coal has been the status quo, it does not mean it should remain the status quo. Well, actually, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with what she's saying there. But the poison pill is coming, right? You know, like, if you want to get someone to take a poison pill, you want to put it with some honey, okay? Because, look, just, you know, I encourage you to read the article, read the whole thing. She goes on to say, Australians want action on climate change. That's her assertion, okay? Mm. Australians want...
Where's the proof on that?
Well, I mean...
And I will agree that a lot of people do, but that's purely because of the massive amount of propaganda and money. My money spent on adverts with black balloons spewing out of every electrical things out onto the roof, looking so disgusting and weird. My tax dollars going into propaganda about how dirty carbon dioxide is. It's dioxide, folks. We're not talking about monoxide or any other real poisonous gases. We're talking about carbon dioxide, right? This is obsession with it, paying for all this propaganda. And then she'll go and say, oh, people want action on it. Well, that's because you've been telling them how fearful they should be since the 80s. They've been telling school children this.
Look, it's a scam. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a con, it's a scam, it's a trick, and I just wish we could all be empowered with the logic to understand this and to be able to explain it to others. Now, it's not...
Want to interject there. I'll tell you how people know it's a scam.
Yeah.
Because you need to look at these solutions that they're offering. So what are the solutions that are being offered?
Let me just read it to you straight from Julia Gillard in this paragraph here. It says, and this is the official view, by introducing a price, fuels that produce less carbon pollution become more price competitive. Energy sources such as natural gas, wind and solar become more able to compete with coal. And as the price of producing more carbon pollution goes up, coal-fired power stations will have an incentive to invest in new technologies such as carbon capture and storage. Over to you, Josh.
Now, this is a typical thing, and you'll get some school kid giving you this argument because they don't truly understand economics. Now, what you're saying... Just purely, that sort of makes sense, right? You say, okay, if you put a price on something, then it becomes more expensive, then people will move to something else. Okay, that makes sense. But taxing something isn't putting a price on it.
Indeed.
Let me repeat that. Taxing something isn't putting a price on it. It is holding a gun to your head and telling you that turning on the heater, when you do, you have to pay your electricity bill, which is competitively priced in a market pricing structure, but you have to also pay the guy with the gun at your head through tax, violently extracted.
Well,
it has no feedback, market feedback. It has no feedback. That's like saying to me, well, I'm going to... be totally isolated from anything and just put a price on gold. I'm just going to say this gold is now worth $15,000. That's what it's worth. Well, it's not, because I've just made that up. And that's what tax is. When you get a top-down controlled pricing structure where someone just decides, someone has a monopoly on the price, they just decide what that is. That is not a price, folks. That is not a price. That's a tax.
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of debate between, you know, the Greens and Labor about whether there should be a straight tax or a carbon trading scheme. But they're so similar that it's kind of a silly argument. Like, it's sort of a nonsense debate, really,
yeah,
because...
The whole trading scheme, again, it's not a free market trading scheme. It's governments telling people that they give out a certain amount of credits. So just like the fiat currency of money, they have the lever of interest rates. What they have is the lever of how many carbon credits they're going to give out.
But so here's the rub. Here's where it gets really murky and really dark and really evil. I'm sorry to have to say this. But because it's not just about limiting the pollution of some factory down the road and saying, look, we're gonna just make it, you know, costly for you to pump out all that black smoke that comes out, right? Now, you know, from what you were saying earlier, Josh, you wouldn't even agree with that. But I think most people would probably think that was okay if there was a factory down the road.
Of course I'd disagree. Yeah, I'd disagree with that.
But a lot of people would actually think that was okay if that factory was pumping out some noxious substance and it was going down the drain and you could see it and gee, you know, it's getting on my clothes.
Absolutely. And this is where free markets and communities get together and they say, we're going to sue them for pumping disgusting crap into the air that we and young Billy here have to breathe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but people see this as that type of situation. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people who've been in the Greens and stuff, and the way they see it in their mind is that what they're doing is just like that. There's that evil factory down the road that's pumping out all those evil fumes and we're going to try and stop it. And then when you come up with your argument about how it would be better and we should use the free market, they just say, look, it's the same thing as with the police and the terrorism, the groin search and the random, you know, invading your home without a warrant. They say, fancy talk, we've got to, you know, the world's about to end. The sky is literally falling. They believe that. They believe the sea levels are rising. They believe that it's getting warmer and warmer every year when it's clearly not, but they believe it is. So they think it's an emergency. Shut up with all your fancy talk. We've got to take action. And at least we're doing something. You're just sitting there tossing off. That's the way they think. I've met many people who actually think that way. Now,
and I would just like to say to someone like that that's a great argument, right? Great argument. That you know, we've got to be suing these, you know, we've got to be punishing these large polluters, folks. these large polluters are asking for a carbon tax. Why is that? Just ask yourself why that is. Why is that?
And also recognize this. And this is what the point I was getting to before, is that what they're doing is not actually punishing the big guy with his cigar who sits in the boardroom who runs the dirty factory that's pumping out all the thick black goo. He's actually going to do really well and he's going to be more profitable and richer and he's going to have more private jets and more houses in France and more swimming pools, okay? Whereas you, everything's going to cost more. Your average things are going to cost more. Your life is going to become harder. Why would you put up with that?
And why is that? Why is that, right? Because in a free market sense, everything goes down in price when it gets really popular and it starts producing more, it gets cheaper and cheaper, like cell phones, because it is a tax. It is going to be taxed on everything. And if it's not just a straight tax, then it's a trading scheme. So what happens, and this is to explain your reasoning of fat cats getting fatter, is because they basically get given, folks, given carbon credits. What does that mean? What are carbon credits? Carbon credits, just exchange the word carbon credits with money. Because carbon credits are a credit that can be bought and sold for what? Whatever. Can be exchanged for whatever. So what do you do if you set up, you know, then you start, it's just, you can then set up your own little trading scheme. You can you basically get given hundreds of millions of dollars to do with whatever you want with, to trade with.
Right.
And do you think the mum and dads that are living in their homes understand how to use these things to make more money with? No. Do you think these big corporations like AMP, BHP, do you think they know how to make money from these credits? Absolutely. It was the big energy scam, what's the company called? Enron, that developed the concept of carbon trading. Enron, the guys that went totally belly up because they were trading everything and everything, anything and everything to do with energy. and then manipulating the markets to make billions.
Too much. Let's have a song.
Let's do it.
Propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au. with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Okay, we're back. Truth News is beaming out across the universe. Are you still with us there, Josh? Look, that was our Paramore there with the only exception song that just cheers me up a little. In this second half, I really want to kind of tie it all together now. Like we've gone out and we've collected a bunch of stories. And I want to show you now how they're all interconnected. What do you say?
Oh, mate, enlighten me.
Okay. Here's the deal. Actually, before we do that, I want to play to you the recording that was done earlier today from New Jersey. New Jersey legislators take on the TSA. Senator Michael J. Doherty and Senator James Beach today announced they will present resolutions to the Senate and Assembly calling on the U.S. Congress to end TSA screening procedures. Now, this is very significant because this is actually these are constitutional people who are basically saying that what this overarching nanny state is doing is unconstitutional. And here we go.
Good afternoon. Thank you for attending today's press conference. I'm joined here by many colleagues in the legislature on both sides of the aisle. We're very concerned what's going on in America, and we're very concerned what's going on in New Jersey and at our airports. We're opposing the new TSA security procedures as folks show up at the airport. We believe that there are constitutional violations that are taking place. We believe that there are violations of New Jersey law that are taking place. When you go to the airport, contrary to what TSA supervisors are saying, when you buy an airline ticket, you do not give up your constitutional rights. And we are standing here today to say that American citizens should be able to travel freely without being harassed and intimidated by their government, that there's other procedures that can be used, and there's other countries around the world providing clear role models of how to do this. We see government action that's continuing to intimidate our citizens and violate their rights. And enough is enough. We are introducing resolutions today, both in the Senate and in the Assembly, calling on our federal congressional delegation to immediately get engaged in this issue, to take a look at these new TSA security procedures, and to stand up for our citizens, not only in New Jersey, but across the United States of America.
Thank you. I'm going to speak specifically about the radiation and the danger that it may represent for some people. Those of us who have been through cancer therapies and who still continue to have massive amounts of radiation for one reason or another, PET scans and so on, have been told by our doctors that we should not have any other radiation unless it's absolutely necessary. I question whether this radiation of these scans are absolutely necessary. I travel a lot, and it means going through them often. We all know that radiation can cause, through free radicals, an interruption with our chromosomes and genes. There's no question about that. And scientists realize that even small amounts can be an issue. A number of scientists have said that they're very concerned about this. This backscatter X-ray technology, which is one of the two technologies that are being used in these scanners, is the one that's the primary concern. A team of researchers from the University of California at San Francisco are urging independent research to find out just how much actually will affect people. And the big problem is women who are prone to breast cancer, it's children, and anybody who has had a lot of radiation or those who travel a lot. And certainly pilots are among this group that are concerned and I believe should be. David Brenner, who's the director of the Center for Radiological Research at Columbia University and a professor of radiation biophysics, says that it's a small amount of radiation, but when you see the large numbers of people that are going to be put through these things, he said, there will be cancers that result. Well, we have to decide whether that is worth it for the people of this country. It's not worth it for me. I don't intend to use those. And then what's my option? My option is to go through this unbelievable pat-down where people are really having themselves violated. I can't even imagine putting a child through these kinds of pat-downs. I can't imagine somebody whose religion requires particular modesty to have to go through these pat-downs. I don't think there's an option, and I think there will be people who will choose to not fly because of it.
Look, I'll just leave it there. It's an excellent set of speeches here from these people. And I just want to quickly look at the issue of the polls, Josh. There's been several polls that have been done, and the one that came out first, that was actually the only one that came up in a news search that I ran, initially from CBS, said that 4 in 5 people support full-body airport scanners. Mm. Now, the actual question was, should airports use full-body X-ray machines? That was the actual poll question. Mm. And it says 81% yes, 15% no, 4% don't know. But then after that, within a couple of days, there was another one that came out, which I'm looking at the wrong one here. Yes, the other poll that came out was also from CBS, but the question was, do new TS airport screens go too far? Now, I'm just going to quickly run it here on my computer screen so I can see the results. And here we have, so the specific question for the poll is, what do you think about the new invasive airport security screenings and all the hoopla surrounding them? There are three answers. One is, stop complaining. The new measures are necessary to guarantee security. Second answer, they may go too far, but are okay as long as people are given the option to opt out. Answer number three, enough with the scans and pat-downs. They're an invasion of civil liberties. And number four, I'm not sure. Well, 80% of respondents answered number three, enough with the scans. In other words, 80% completely reject what's going on. So, and then as another poll, just in case you think that you might disagree with that, there's a third poll, and this is from Reuters. Now, the question is, are you less likely to fly because of stepped up security procedures such as full body scans and pat downs? Now, no, it is a necessary procedure to ensure terror plots are thwarted, or yes, I will make alternate travel plans. Let's try it. Just running it now. 96% have said they just won't fly anymore.
Yeah, well, I've come to that. I had plans to fly to America and, you know, do some tourism and see the lovely country and the lovely people of the States. I wanted to head up to New Hampshire. I wanted to, you know, see New York. I just, you know, I've got lots of great friends, American friends. I've cancelled all that now because I literally don't want, I'm boycotting it because I don't want to be sexually abused by some TSA worker.
Now, that's 69,000 people have said they're just not going to fly. The poll is over 70,000 respondents. 69,000 have said they're just not going to fly.
Well, I'll tell you
that
something now, folks. Money talks. And if you choose not to fly, but to use teleconferencing or Skype, just for a while.
Well, actually, I'm going to disagree with you, Josh. I know where you're coming from in saying that, but I think we need a variety of opinions on this show. My suggestion is that you fly and you refuse to be pat down, because I believe that will throw more spanners in the works than simply not flying. Although I do believe not flying is a valid choice, and I totally respect it, but I think the man who said, you're not going to touch my junk, he has become an internet sensation because of his courage, his inspiration, and the fact that he said, I want to fly. I need to fly. I'm going someplace. And the other point I want to make is a lot of people just have to fly for their jobs.
Look, absolutely. But you know, you're not going to get everyone not flying, right?
I mean, it's
ridiculous. And you're not going to get everyone boycotting. So if you have to fly, do what you said. But if it's a choice, I think the dollar bites. And if the airliner starts saying, hey, we're losing customers. If the tourism industry says, hey, we're losing dollars, I can tell you right now, they're going to strip one thing, and that's strip out those airport strippers.
Strip the strippers.
Strip the virtual strippers.
Look,
I mean, that very valid point. And
I actually think that having the courage to walk in there and say you're not touching my junk is incredibly inspiring.
Absolutely.
And I don't think everyone can do that. But if you can, and you can do it without getting violent, without making yourself look bad by losing your temper, and do it politely like that guy did, you are a hero. You will be my hero if you do that. Now, of course, we don't have them here yet in Australia, but, you know, the time may come where we have to make these decisions here too.
Look, they'll be everywhere soon, folks. If we don't say no to this, then they'll just be everywhere. They'll be at the Coles.
They absolutely. And I mean, one of the people in the video there before, the lady from the ACLU, makes the very valid point that if you're going to do like a groin check and you're going to go right up the thigh to the groin, why aren't you going to go into the body cavities? Because they could just as well be putting something up there if they're going to put something in their groin, and indeed there is no reason to expect that they wouldn't. It's just inconvenient.
The underpants bomber.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're checking groins. We're the shoe bomber. Everyone has to take off their shoes. If someone's stuck some sort of explosive device in their rear end.
Indeed.
Or you know, whatever, or if it was alleged that they were going to plan to even. I mean, that's all it takes. If they were going to plan to. I mean, the guys in England who plan to make some liquid bomb out of a whole heap of different liquids, who, 95% of them didn't even have passports.
And suddenly they banned liquids.
All of a sudden, all of us, everyone globally can't take a certain amount of shampoo or anything on. And at that stage,
people even baby formula.
Drink their own mother's milk.
Yeah. Yeah,
even to prove that it is mother's milk. I mean, these sort of despicable acts of degradation.
Now, there is some really excellent material on the internet, and part of this is because with the newer phones, with the iPhones and a lot of phones, you can just switch on a recording device and you can hear how the TSA officers are behaving, and that is really important to understand what is actually going on. And there is one particular one I listened to. It's actually from a while ago, and it was a man who was basically heavy and monstered because he had what they said was a lot of cash, and it was just $4,000, totally legal. There was no problem, and it was actually campaign contributions for the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty. And they were asking him all these questions. Where did you get the money? Where are you going? What are you doing? That's a lot of money. And he just kept saying, am I legally required to answer that question? And, and they said, so you're refusing to cooperate? He said, no, I just want to know if I'm legally required to answer that question. And they went on, and they couldn't answer his question that he was legally required. In fact, he wasn't.
Thugs. They're just thugs. They're minimum wage thugs. Basically, and I'm not saying anyone minimum wage is bad, but I'm just saying they're just common people. They have a costume on.
Yeah, and they are low paid, and they're not too bright. I mean, I've watched enough of these videos now to realize that most of them are not too bright. They don't look too healthy either. Yeah, they usually look a bit overweight, and they just don't. You know, they don't. We're putting our trust for our security in these types of people, okay? Bit of a concern. Now, look, there are so many logical problems with the procedures that it's just so obvious to point them out. And one clear one is that if you think that a bomber will only ever bomb a plane, well, you're just being silly, because if someone has a bomb, they could detonate it anywhere. They could detonate it in the queue to go through the baggage check. So if they're in the queue and then they get moved into the body scanner queue, then they could just set off their bomb right then and there in the airport and kill a whole lot of people like that. Yeah, they could kill 100 people like that.
And that's a very good point, Harold. And this is where I like to say again, always try to just step back from all the fear and all the ridiculous rhetoric and just look at it logically in exactly what you said. If someone wanted to cause some death, because what is the point of terrorism, right? The point of terrorism is to maybe harm as many people as possible and then to have a political gain on that.
Yeah.
Now, why does that have to be done in midair?
Exactly. Look, I don't want to give anyone any ideas. I just want to just make a simple observation. I got on a ferry last week that was packed with people and there wasn't 1 ounce of security. None. Zero. And it was a packed Manly ferry, probably had 500 people on it. Not one tiny bit of security. Of course, the day someone puts a bomb on a ferry, that will all change, of course. But I mean...
Yeah, but they won't. They'll put all security on ferries, yeah. And they won't think one bit about the public libraries.
Exactly. Someone will walk into a library. Someone will walk into a bus. Basically, if someone wants to blow themselves up, if someone is so angry and so twisted inside and so bitter about the world that they want to blow themselves up, what you got to do? You've got to try and heal society. You've got to try and find out why those people are so angry and try to help them. Because if they're willing to blow themselves up, you're screwed. You can't protect yourself against that.
No.
And that's why the only answer to it, if you believe the Al-Qaeda myths, if you believe that it really is a terrible army of Islamic militants out there who just want to blow you up at every opportunity, we've got to try and find out how to make them a bit happier, right? Because if they're that miserable that they're going to kill themselves, then something's got to be done about that. We cannot just protect ourselves from it.
No, I can tell you one thing that doesn't help is us being over in Afghanistan killing innocent farmers, women and children.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. Oh, oops. Gee, that could help.
Yeah.
That could actually help. Maybe if we just actually stopped bombing all those civilians over in Afghanistan every day.
Yeah.
That could help. Great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah, great idea. Let's stop that. There's so much to cover.
Now, look, but I said I was going to draw it all together. I want to draw it all together now. Right? Just I'm going to do it in 5 minutes, right? I want you to understand that this is a scam, that the security situation is a scam, that the climate change is a scam, that the Gardasil vaccine and all the other stupid vaccines that we've had foisted upon us is a scam. And we've pointed out the errors of logic. We've pointed out how you're not really being protected. We've pointed out with climate change over and over again how they're not really protecting you, but they're giving you something to be afraid of. Then they're offering you something that looks too good to refuse, because they're offering you this thing called safety, right? Now, when there are many con people in the world, there are many con games, many tricks, but the con always has a particular structure. It always gives you some kind of scary situation and then gives you an opportunity where you can take a risk and maybe benefit a lot from it. But the typical scam, you know, is that you're involved in some criminal thing and, you know, someone's money that's been illegally obtained and you're going to get it and they're going to benefit and you're going to benefit, right? So there's going to be people who lose out. There's some danger, but you're going to be the one who benefits, okay? That's the idea behind, you know, so many different cons. If it looks too good to be true, it is, right? That's the golden rule with any type of scam or con. So if it looks too good to be true that that the government's going to save us from climate change, when you know, if you actually look at what the theory about climate change says, it would seem to be inevitable anyway. It would seem like it has this momentum that couldn't be stopped. But the government's going to save you from it. Just sign here, you know, give us your taxes. The government's going to save you from terrorism. Just sign away your rights. And then you think you're going to benefit. So you get this illusory thing that they're offering you, which is safety, right? And what are they getting? They're getting power and money.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how I draw it all together.
They absolutely are. And it's happening on such a grand scale. And when you put it that way, that's a very, very good way of putting it, is that it's a common con job. Now, next time you see something on the news where, like, the government's here to help, step back a bit and think about a con. Think about a con artist.
Yeah.
And how they would function by offering you a problem, you screaming something has to be done, and then them offering the solution, which usually ends up with you paying money and paying with your freedoms, or some sort of, you know, you have to work. You have to work. So.
Yeah. Let's take the debt slavery con, where they say, yes, you can have this gleaming house. It's yours. Yeah. You're just going to have to be a slave for the rest of your life, and which of course means you'll never be free to really say what you think. You'll never do what you really want, because you'll always be worried that you might lose your job and won't be able to pay your mortgage. So you will be a completely controlled slave. Yeah. But you'll have this wonderful thing. You'll be a homeowner.
Yeah. But, and then on the other side of that, they'll tell you that, having a monopoly is bad. It's the worst thing in the world. We've got to stop monopolies. In fact, most of government's there to stop monopolies. When the creation of money, the creation of debt, is a massive monopoly. So you have this monopolized debt machine keeping you enslaved, and there's the con.
There it is.
There's the con. Let's look at. Let's look at climate change. Here's this terrible problem, the world's going to end. Everyone should be worried, and they should be. I mean, if there's something that horrific that's being done, everyone should do something. Right, well, here's the solution, folks. Everyone pay more in taxes. Well, where does the money go? Just pay more in taxes.
Indeed. Now, look, in the last little time we've got left tonight, we've actually got some good news. Hmm. And I've got lined up here Geraldo Rivera coming out in support of a new investigation of 9/11. I think I'm going to play the whole thing and finish up with that tonight. It's one small ray of sunshine in a dark and gloomy week. Did you have a chance to watch that video segment, Josh?
Yeah, it was quite amazing.
Now, of course, Geraldo Rivera, being a veteran TV host, goes back to the mid-70s, and apparently he's responsible for exposing the Zapruder film to millions of Americans back in the 70s. Of course, the smoking gun of the Kennedy assassination. Interesting fact, which I just leave for you to consider. I don't know what that means, but the guy appears to be genuine, though. Like, he appears to me to be genuine. We have the clip of him earlier a couple of years ago being confronted by a group of chanting 9/11 protesters while he was doing some puff piece, some TV fluff piece. And there were the 9/11, in 9/11 is an inside job, this big group of them, all with their T-shirts on, chanting in the background. It's fantastic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
AJ was there too.
Alex Jones was there as well, yeah. Yeah, anyway, he now says he's had a change of heart, and he had this fantastic interview with Bob McElvain and Tony Zambodi from Architects and Engineers. So
it's really good. I mean, we were going to today go through the history of Fox News and sort of deconstructing, because Fox News I don't trust them as far as you can throw them. They're a disgusting organization.
Well, give us a quick synopsis. Give us the condensed version.
The condensed version, it's quite hard to do because there's a really good timeline, and I think we should spend a bit more time on it. But
fair enough, yeah.
I've really followed the rise of Glenn Beck being a Fox News anchor. See, Glenn Beck was just sort of, O'Reilly was the big one, and he's sort of dropped right off now. And Glenn Beck came along, took over the Tea Party movement, which was started by the Ron Paul Revolution as a grassroots effort to basically get Ron Paul, promote Ron Paul. Then what happened is after the election, the Tea Party movement got taken over by Glenn Beck and some other right-wing conservatives, sort of like Palin, and they got sort of, you know, they just ushered themselves in as, no, we are the leaders of this group. That's the sort of just pronounced it, and then you see them promoting these sort of Glenn Beck's producers are basically word by word watching and parroting a lot of Alex Jones's material, which, you know, fantastic, but it's the reason behind it is because there's an obvious, you know, they've asked Alex Jones to be to move over to the mainstream, but Alex Jones has built his own little empire now that he doesn't want to leave, and he's never wanted to leave. In fact, he's been offered it when it wasn't an empire. So good on him for that. But basically what they've done is gone, well, let's get Glenn Beck saying the same thing. And we've seen, we can't talk about it here, but there's been other Australian radio stations that have wanted to put on big conspiracy shows because it's starting to become, people are starting to become interested. They're starting to see that something is wrong. Everything is not as it seems. We're not being told the truth, and people are begging for the truth. People are hunting it down by themselves. So Fox News has obviously caught on to this. So I just find the whole thing a bit disingenuous, that they're just doing it for profit. But, you know, like Alex Jones said, it doesn't matter. The fact is some of them are talking some truths now, even though they're not really exposing some of the hardcore stuff. They are coming out with some little golden nuggets of truth. And exposing it, but the vast majority of Fox News, I just don't trust them as far as I can throw them, and they're very heavy, big organisations, so I can't throw them far.
That's a fair assessment, and yeah, I certainly don't. My endorsement of Gerald Rivero is not an endorsement of Fox, and as with many things, you know, I just when an individual does something that seems to be respectable, I give them respect. I think that. I mean, a lot of us in the truth movement have said that there are many journalists who are in line for war crimes charges because they've been complicit in the cover-up of crimes against humanity. And to my mind, Geraldo has exempted himself from that admitting that this is genuine.
Sorry, mate.
No, you go.
You know, I've worked very long time in the media, and you know Rivera. He's not a lone cow. He's not sitting there pulling the cords. He's been told, now you're going to do this.
I assume that, but I don't know how much, you know, how much give there is in that. I mean, we saw Rosie O'Donnell come out and say it in 2007. Of course, she was smacked down. Now, you know, so did she not have the clearance? You know, I mean,
oh, absolutely not. So she got smacked down.
So, but indeed, I mean, so she obviously did say something that she didn't have clearance to say. So, you know, I don't know whether everything that they say is prearranged or whether they can actually sometimes. I mean, we saw those strange episodes with Glenn Beck where he was talking about FEMA camps, and then he suddenly said there are no FEMA camps, and I don't know. It's very hard to work it out.
No, when I say that he's told what to do, I'm not saying everything he says. And that's how Rosie McDonald can just come out and say something on The View, is to say it. But the general thing, like if a whole lot of producers get together and they pitch a story, hey, we're going to do this, and above them say, yep, we give the go-ahead for that. It'll give or think tanks come back with the fact that, hey, we've got to take on more stories on this angle because that's what people are wanting now, and it'll drive ratings.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay, well, let's hook up a you know, obviously every time we mention 9/11, we get massive amounts of hits with 9/11 Truth. So let's have one of these family members on board. And who are we going to do it? Well, Glenn Beck's openly ridiculed 9/11 Truth in the past, so we can't have him doing it. So let's do Gerald... his name slipped me, but, you know, let's have him do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Look, I think a lot of people will probably agree with you on that. I'm trying to take a more optimistic view of it. I'm trying to see some positive, positive human nature.
The fact of the matter is, it's being aired on mainstream news, and
I'm trying to see it as a sign that there are someone in there who's got some compassion.
The vast amount.
I'd like to believe that anyway.
See, the good thing about mainstream is, I mean, I always diss it, because I just don't think it's mainstream anymore. I think it's the corporate media. I think the internet's mainstream. The difference is, on the internet, you search out what you want to see. So if I want to find out something about 9/11 Truth, I find it out. Whereas with mainstream, you get just fed something. So you could just be sitting there. You wouldn't have most ignorant person on the planet. Mm. And all of a sudden, you get slammed with this amazing information.
Yeah.
And it might open your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. You know. So true. So true. Well, look, we're going to have to wind up. So I'm going to go out with this audio. And, most of our listeners have probably already listened to it, but I think we should put the whole thing in the show tonight, just in case. And, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Josh, yeah. You've been doing great work with our Twitter feeds.
The Twitter feed's going off. People are subscribing crazy. So get on there, because it's an amazing... we've jumped, 50% in follower numbers in the last week with some of the information we've been putting out. So jump on there. You don't have to be a member of Twitter. You can just use an RSS feed off of the Twitter feed. But I would recommend just signing up so you can give us information as well. It's a way of communicating. If you're not, just leave some comments on the truthnews.com.au site. Especially if you want us to cover any information, or if you disagree or agree with us, let us know.
Yeah, and there's been some great comments there lately, and we're getting a lot more people joining the Facebook fan page, which is a great way to sort of share your thoughts as well, because everything we post, all our Twitter posts and all our broadcasts are posted on the Facebook page as well. So, on that note, it's been great, a really great show tonight. I'm a bit exhausted from it, but I'm just going to get ready now for the next show. You know, that's what we do.
That's what we do, folks. We get straight on to the next thing. And you know, we really ask for our listeners to help us out with anything they can think of, because we're just a couple of guys. We've got a vast network now of people, listeners, sending us great information. So we ask you to keep that up.
And just promote the show to your friends. You know, just tell people about it. You just got to get more listeners. It needs to increase exponentially. You know, or at least geometrically. You know, it needs to go 10 times to what it is now, then to 100 times. You know, that's what we need that. So look forward to your company next week.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
But up front tonight, Building 7 was no ordinary building. Among other key tenants, including several intelligence and law enforcement agencies, it also housed New York City's Emergency Operations Center, known as Mayor Giuliani's Bunker. Here to tell us what they know about its collapse and why they question the official conclusions are Bob McElvain, whose son died in the World Trade Center, and Tony Zambotti, a mechanical engineer. Nice to see you guys. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Nice to meet you, Gerardo.
Our condolences, obviously, for your loss. But, Tony, let me start with you. You're an engineer. Are you suggesting that the official account that Building 7 collapsed because of the fire melting the steel, or in some other ways, destroying the integrity, the structural integrity of the build, that's false? You think that's false?
Yes, I do. And for a couple reasons. One is that Building 7 came down. It went into a sudden collapse across the full width and length of the building. for 2.25 seconds, which amounted to 105 feet or eight stories, eight 13-foot tall stories. It was in full free-fall acceleration. That is impossible because in a natural collapse, columns would have to buckle. When columns buckle, there is a minimum resistance. It's asymptotic, if you know what that means. That means it never goes to zero. So it's impossible. You can't reach.
So here's what, I guess in layman's terms, just get my hands here, Peter. So what he's saying is that the top floor collapses, hits the next floor, hits the next floor, hits the next floor. So it's bang, 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 bang. The weight of the upper floors.
It would slow down. What I'm trying to say is it was in full free fall acceleration. All of its potential energy was being converted
to
motion.
Instead of what I just described, the thing just collapsed like a pancake.
It just came down.
And so what are you suggesting brought it down, Tony?
I'm suggesting there was some form of demolition devices in that building for eight stories or more.
You think that the explosives brought down Building 7?
Some form of demolition device. I'm not pretending to know what it is. I am saying that it was in freefall acceleration.
All right, let me ask you this.
The NASD admitted to that.
Okay, let me ask you this before I get to Dad, before I get to Bob here. We've all seen old, obsolete buildings and public housing in other places outlive their usefulness, being demolished by the professionals who can actually collapse a building right in its own footprint. That's what it looks like happened to Building 7. Do you believe that's what happened?
Yes, I do believe that's what happened.
And why do you think they're lying about it?
I don't really know all the details of what they're lying about. I can't read their minds. All I can say is, scientifically, it does not. It's impossible for fire to have done what we see.
And these 1,300 engineers and architects who agree with you and some of the other relatives' families. I know you found your son just a couple of days after the disaster. He was outside. I don't want to get into the details of how you believe he died, but these architects and engineers, do they support your contention? Do you believe that it was an inside job? That 9/11 was an inside job?
All right, Gerardo, I believe it was an inside job, okay?
I'm here. You believe our government?
All right, please. But the thing is, we don't have enough time to get into the reasons of that. We set up this Building What campaign. We saw the...
Building What?
Building What.org.
Buildingwhat.org.
The reason we have that is because Judge Lehner, when we had a petition to have a new investigation in New York City about Building 7. And when the lawyers...
And you're asking the New York City Council. I don't
right,
want to interrupt
what,
also to
right.
reopen.
So I know we don't have the time, but anyway, he said, building what? Because no one has any idea about Building 7. So because I believe in... I've talked to so many firemen, so many EMS workers, policemen, who talk about the explosions. And I know you don't want to get into my son's... But I feel my son died from an explosion. I went to all the 9/11 commission hearings. I've been researching this for 9 years.
So what do you want? Let's get to the bottom line before we're out of time.
I want truth. I've been lied to. I mean, it's beyond a reasonable doubt that the 9/11 Commission did not tell this story.
9/11 Commission barely mentioned Building 7, if at all.
Right.
Okay, what forum do you want the investigation in?
Well, the forum, what we wanted is in New York City right now, because New York City, we feel, has an obligation to investigate 9/11.
So before we're out of time completely, Bob, do you want specifically the New York City Council to open its own investigation of the Building 7 collapse?
Absolutely.
And that would satisfy you if they did that?
Well, I'm not done. I'm still a parent. I'm a parent who has an obligation to find out why my son was murdered. As far as this show and New York City, I want the investigation. That will not be sufficient
enough.
Not heal
your wound. I get that.
And I'm going beyond that.
But it's
the
beginning.
Of course it's the beginning, but that's why I support this Building What campaign.
Bob McElveen, we thank you. Tony Zimbadi, thank you very much. It is an intriguing topic. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects. Clearly, they know more than I do. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths, and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.